Intervju Radija Študent.
Prej ste slišali, kako je bilo na zabavi s Jamesom Ruskinom, sedaj pa boste slišali, kako je bilo v pogovoru s Jamesom Ruskinom, ki ga je opravil Goran Kompoš, kako pak. Predno pa bomo začeli s tem intervjujem, naj samo povemo, da smo ga najprej povprašali, ali glede na to, da je v preteklosti v Sloveniji nastopil na večjih prizoriščih, smatra, da priljubljenost tehna upada.
You know, the music moves in waves and it has times where the popularity is maybe bigger, but at the moment I'd say there's a big resurgence, and I think it's having a real really good time at the moment, and you know, there's a lot of interest in the music, there's a lot of new music coming out. So no, I think it's really strong times.
Definitely lots of music, but maybe crowd wise, you know, I don't know how many people still attend this more underground kind of techno gigs.
I mean, you know, the parties that I'm doing in Northern Europe and where in the UK and Holland and places like this, the crowds are huge. There's still a lot of parties. I think the sound is very different to what was happening in the 90s anyway, so and there's a complete new generation of people that are now listening to it, so yeah.
Do you see any differences maybe in the response in this change of generations? Was it more white maybe earlier, you know, when it was still a really big novelty compared to nowadays, that people got used to it?
I mean, there's obviously an element of that people are more acceptable to electronic sounds in general, not just with techno, just in general. So yeah, I guess if you go way back to when this music first started coming over the clubs, it's obviously not that shock factor that there was back then, but you know, crowds react in similar ways, definitely.
Right. You know, over the years you become best known for kind of uncompromising proper hard techno, and you allow yourself more space, you know, when you collaborate with other people. As for your solo DJ performance, did you just, you know, accept to give crowds what they expect, or do you give them maybe sometimes something they don't expect, surprise them in some way?
Yeah, I mean, I don't tend to play what people, you know, because I think that's what people expect of me. I play what I believe to be, you know, the music that I believe in, the music that I'm into, you know. So there's always curveballs in there. Like, you know, I don't tailor things specifically. No.
Mm-hmm. And how would you put into words what is that you strive for when you are DJing? What makes a good techno set for you?
Well, I mean, you know, you feed off the crowd, and you know, if you can work the crowd and work the room properly, you do get a good sense. I mean, it's all about creating, you know, the emotion with the music as well, particularly with techno, because it is, you know, there's so many different areas of it and so many different ways that you can take the sounds that, you know when you've had a good set.
You know, you start in less than half an hour. Do you still get a rush before you start, or maybe during the set, or did it become more kind of a routine-like thing? And maybe
I still get excited about it. I still get into it. I still get a rush from doing it.
How do you prevent it from becoming a routine?
Well, as soon as it becomes routine, then you probably have to stop. Maybe, I don't know. It's You have to have that feeling, and you have to have that energy to get your point across and to work with the crowd and work with the people that have come to listen to you play. If you're just going for the motions, then it just wouldn't work, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. And how much do you plan your sets ahead? Do you plan them at all?
No, not really.
Just a general direction, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you've got ideas of what you want, you know, certain things that you want to play, but whether it, you know, there's some new music that you picked up that you want to get in your set, but, you know, I carry quite a lot of music with me, so, no, they're not planned.
Mm-hmm. Here is a bit more historical question. I read somewhere that you got into electronic music through hip-hop and electro.
Yeah.
And I know that's quite common for many British producers.
Yeah.
Not just techno producers, but producers in general.
Mm.
I know many people, especially around Warp, that was their entry point as well, hip-hop, electro, Mantronics particularly.
Mantronics, yeah. I mean, that early sound was kind of instrumental in me getting involved with electronic music. Mm. I mean, they were the first sort of sounds that came over in the sort of mid-80s and early 80s, you know, Cybertron, like you say, Mantronics, these sort of people that... it was so fresh and so new. It took over everything.
One of the first records, I think it was quite a successful record that was labeled proper British techno, and today is probably not even regarded as techno. Well, to some people it is, to some it isn't. Was Frequencies by LFO. Do you know that record? You probably do.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Very early Warp days. I mean, that's a lot later than, you know, that's a lot later.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, that it spawned a whole different scene, the kind of Sheffield bleep sound, as they called it. It was a completely new British take on techno, mm-hmm. and obviously LFO went on to do amazing things. But early Warp sound was incredible.
Were you exposed to any of that early on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they were quite popular, I mean, present in the media at that time, in the early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, there was more media coverage, just purely because there wasn't the amount of people making the music as there was now. Back then, the releases weren't, there wasn't so many, so, you know, people did get exposure, and it was so new. And Warp dealt with it all in a fantastic way, the way they got the coverage that they did. You know, it was a very, very important time for British electronic music with what happened during that whole period.
Mm-hmm. And what was, do you maybe remember what artist was that led you in the direction of techno?
I couldn't say any one specific. It was about the whole, it was about the sound, it was about the culture, it was about...
You felt closer to this techno sound than you did to what guys from Warp were doing? Did you see it? There's a big difference.
No, but then techno for me isn't about one thing. It's about many different sort of areas of electronic music. Techno for me covers. I mean, I know there's a lot of subgenres now, and things are very segregated with sound. But although that seems to be changing somewhat at the moment, where there's a lot more kind of cross pollination between different scenes and. For me, it's more widespread. So, what was happening with LFO? It fell into line with what was happening from Detroit and everything. It was all the same thing for me.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about this segregation. I think that IDM or bleep or whatever you call it isn't that popular here. At least we didn't get many of them play live. But
yeah.
We get quite a bit of techno and stuff. What about back in UK? Do you find yourself playing maybe the same unings with some of those guys, you know?
Not so much, no. I mean, you know, if you're talking about the kind of...
I know about 10 years ago, Oetker curated ATP Festival and then invited Mark Broom,
yes.
And also Surgeon.
Yes.
So I think...
Mark and Tony have both worked on Oetker's tours as tour DJs when they were going down around doing their live shows. But you don't tend to be on bills with them in clubs, no. It doesn't happen, really.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of segregated, separated as well.
Kind of, yeah.
Mm. You released a couple of records for, is it Lacquer or Laker?
Yeah, Lacquer, yes.
Lacquer, yeah. A couple of years ago, you know, on Blueprint, and their music spoke to people outside of just straight techno as well.
Mm.
Also, Saya, who
yes.
released a record on your label. And now they signed with other labels, or at least they released records on other labels. So do you have maybe your eyes set on some new, young, interesting producer?
There's not really been a great deal that's come through since Lacquer that's given me that kind of feeling and that urge to release their music. You know, with the Lacquer guys, I just immediately knew there was something there, and just loved the way they went about creating their music. So there's been nothing like that since, really. But these things happen. I mean, I'm never. I don't go out just constantly looking for new artists for the label. If something turns up, that's fine. But essentially, the labels are a kind of vehicle for a very small core of people.
Mm-hmm. How did you get in touch with the Lacquer guys? Did you approach them? Or
yes.
Did they...
No, I approached them. They did a release on a Berlin label. I think it was their first 12. They did a track called Spider Silk, and I was really into it and playing it a lot in my sets. Mm-hmm. And I just I just really liked the quality of what they were doing. So I mean, it's very unusual for me to sort of contact anyone in this way, but I just thought I'm going to, you know, see if they've got any material that they wouldn't mind sending over as a demo. And yeah, and we ended up doing the 2 12s.
Okay, so you have to get ready for the set. So maybe just one last question. It's been a while since you released your full solo, full-length album. You know, are there any plans of releasing a new one maybe?
I don't know about an album at the moment. I'm just finishing an album with Mark Broom, a Fear Ratio album. And I've got the 12-inch, the EP on Jealous God and one on Blueprint at the moment. So I don't think there'll be an album this year. But you know, you never know. It depends on time. Because I already have an album project underway with Mark, so I think it's just going
to
be 12.
You have to finish this one first, definitely.
Indeed.
Okay. Excellent. Okay. So thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you. Cheers.
Pogovarjal se je Goran Kompoš in to z Jamesom Ruskinom. Medijski pokrovitelj intervjuja pa je Radio Študent.
Intervju Radia Študent.